Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Midnight Audio Theater, the weekly show where we bring you new and original audio dramas, be they adventure, mystery, sci-fi, or comedy. I'm your host, Kathy Ranella. Tonight, we have a new episode for you, and it's a double feature. To start out, we are returning to the 1970s with another chapter of Decorated Air Theater's This Thing of Ours. After that, we have a brand new story to share with you, another one of our winning tales from last year's scriptwriting competition. Tonight's selection is Going Home by Kathy Brady, as voiced by talents from this year's Actors Theater of Columbus cast. But more of that later. Right now, it's time for some Tales of the Mob with Who's the Boss?
In my neighborhood growing up, you either became a cop, a priest, or a wise guy. Well, there was no way I was going to lock up my friends, and I sure as hell wasn't a saint. So that left me with only one choice.
Decorated Air Theater presents This Thing of Ours, a story of life in the Mafia. Written and produced by Scott Spaulding and starring Joe Rodriguez as Carmine Santarelli. Previously on This Thing of Ours.
Well, who's this guy?
Jimmy O'Connor, one of them Hell's Kitchen boys, them Westies punks. He says he was paid by our friend Frankie Nose to do this.
Frankie Nose? No, no way.
I know how you guys work. If I had said no, I'm a dead man myself. So I did it. You understand? Right?
Yeah, sure.
We were given orders by Frank Gallo to come over here and threaten Anthony to hand over the stop to us.
Well, let me tell you something, Vinny. The only reason you're still standing here and not face down in a pool of your own blood is that you're connected to Frank. Otherwise, I'd have no problem putting this shotgun in your mouth and removing your wisdom teeth for you. Capiche?
I took it upon myself to do this. I didn't want to add no more stress to your recovery, so I figured I would take care of it myself.
Stress? You were worried about stress? This thing has caused me nothing but stress!
You gotta send more money back up to Frankie.
You're friggin' kidding me? I do all this work, and you're gonna bleed me dry on this one?
Hey, Joey.
No way, Dom.
Hey,
sorry.
Hey, Joey.
Hey. Can't do it.
Hey, this ain't up for discussion.
Do you see anybody?
Wait, I think I just saw someone get in on the other side.
Where? I don't see nobody.
Right over there. See him? He's in there now.
Oh, yeah. I see him.
Hello?
Hey, you awake?
I am now.
Well, get dressed and head over to Stevie's right now.
Why? What's going on?
He's dead.
Who's dead?
The old man. He's gone.
What? What happened?
Don't know. No details yet. All I know is we gotta get to Stevie's as soon as possible.
All right. I'll head right over.
All right.
So that's it. The old man's dead. Now, I can't say it's a complete shock with all that's been going on, but it's still a shock. Just a few hours ago, he was up front giving a toast to Frankie and Dom. Now he's in some room with a tag around his toe, wearing a body bag. If he knew what was coming, I think he may have thought twice about giving that speech. Then again, I don't think the old man would have believed it, even if he was told what was going to happen. Especially with who we thought would be behind it. But there ain't nothing nobody can do about that now. Except get to the guys responsible and take them out.
So the word I got is, the old man and Frankie were driving home from Bellafino's. And we're stopped at Elizabeth and Grand, apparently for some road construction or something.
In the middle of the night? A few days before Christmas?
Yeah, right. You friggin' believe it? So they can't go nowhere. They're stopped. And this guy comes up from behind them and puts about 8 slugs in the old man. And that's it. He's dead.
And what about Frankie?
That's the beauty of it. He got nothing.
He got nothing?
He wasn't hurt at all?
Nothing. You kidding me?
Yeah, nothing. Not even no hurt feelings.
We gotta hit back. We gotta hit back at him hard now. No more of this pussyfooting around crap.
Yeah, he's right.
I agree with you, Joey, but not just yet.
Haven't we waited long enough?
Hey, Joey, you just let me handle that, all right? You just worry about cooling yourself off before you do anything stupid like you and last night.
Hey, that ain't my fault. Dom comes up to me saying I owe Frankie $5,000 for that thing me and Carmine took down last month.
What thing? The thing with that Chuck guy?
Yeah, that's right.
What's he talking about? You already gave him his cut, right?
Don't matter. He wants another $5,000 for it. He says he knows the guy and wants to help him out.
You kidding me? What a scumbag.
This guy's a piece of work.
I know for a fact that ain't true. I gave Frankie all the details of this thing when I brought it to him. And he ain't shown no signs of knowing the guy. When does Frankie want it?
By the end of next week.
Alright, that'll buy us some time. And if I have to, I'll stall him for some more. So don't worry about it, Joey. Frankie ain't never seeing that money. Cause as long as you still owe Frankie, he ain't gonna touch us. No Joey, no money, right?
Sounds good to me. I ain't got no problem with that.
This should work in our favor. Because now that the old man's gone and out of the way, I'm thinking we're next, fellas.
We're next. That's what Stevie says. We're next. Now, living the life, you know that this is always a possibility at any time. But to think that you're actually on some guy's hit list, it takes it to a whole new level. I ain't never been in a spot like this before, but Stevie says he has. And as long as we play it cool, like nothing's going on, and stay one step ahead of Frankie, we'll be fine. Stevie's next move is to talk to some of the other bosses at the old man's funeral with the hopes of setting up a meeting with them soon. Until then, we go about our business like any other day and just make sure we don't end up in the wrong place at the wrong time. You want to show some respect and get that under control sometime today?
Seriously, Carm? Seriously? You think I'm enjoying this? If you didn't notice, there's about 1,500 dozen roses in this place. And my nose ain't agreeing with none of them right now, so give me a break, all right?
Well, maybe you should take it outside for a bit. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, now you 2-inch. What is this? Maybe I should just leave, and then you guys gotta find your own way home. How's that sound?
I ain't seen him nowhere, fellas. I see Dom and a couple of their guys, but no Frankie.
Real class act, huh?
Would you expect anything less from the guy?
You can bring that to the boys upstairs too, right?
Yeah, I'll just add it to the ever-growing list. Speaking of which, Tommy Bellotti just walked in. I'm gonna go see if I can talk to him about setting up a meeting with Big Paulie. I'll be right back.
All right.
Hey, check them out over there. Frankie might have changed his mind about not coming if he would have known how much fun his lackeys could be having. Looks like they're having a grand old time over there, huh?
Bunch of punks.
That makes me sick.
Hey, somebody do me a favor. Go over there and remind them guys there's a funeral going on, would you?
Oh, nice. Now Dom's looking over here.
That's all right. He can't hear us over here. Yeah, how you doing, Dom? Salute. Can you believe this guy? Friggin' mutt.
Yeah, good job, Joey. Now he's coming over here.
$500 says he brings up the money you owe Frankie.
Yeah, well, this place better have a 2-for-1 special if he do.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey, Dom, how's it
What's
going?
What's going on, Dom?
Good to see you, Dom. How are things?
Well, you know, things definitely could be better considering everything that's happened. But what are you gonna do, right?
Yeah, no kidding. How's Frankie taking it? He's gotta be devastated.
Yeah, he's taking it pretty hard. I ain't never seen him like this before. But you know Frankie. He's a tough kid. He'll pull through, you know?
Oh yeah, he's tough as nails. I actually wanted to give my condolences to him personally, but I haven't run into him yet. You seen him around?
Actually, he thought it best that he just not come today. With all that's gone down and the uncertainty of the whole situation, he thought it best for the family that he just don't risk being out in the open just yet. You know, just in case whoever did this decides to strike again.
Yeah, that's smart. Can't chance losing him, too.
Forget about it. It'd be a real mess around here if that happened. Which brings me to my next thing. We got a family meeting at Frankie's club tomorrow at noon. He's going to talk about the whole situation and what we're going to do moving forward. We also got to make it official that Frankie's the new guy. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious he should be the guy. But you know how the commission is. Rules are rules, you know? So we gotta do an official vote on this thing. Everybody's gotta be there, no excuses, and don't be late.
Yeah, sure. We'll be there.
So who else is on the ballot?
Who else is on the ballot? You crack me up, Joey. It's good to have guys like you around during times like these, you know? Keep things light, laugh. Take it easy, fellas. I'll see you tomorrow at noon. Who else is on the ballot?
That was serious. I want to know who else is on the ballot.
Don't worry, Joey. I'll write you in.
Yeah, I can see them banners now. Vote Joey Yates for 78.
Yeah, right. I'll make some buttons.
Yeah, you guys are hilarious. I'm serious about this. I ain't voting for him. Ain't no way in hell that's happening.
What you talking about? You ain't voting for who?
Frankie. Dom says we gotta vote for boss and expects us to vote for Frankie.
Of course you are, Joey. We all are.
You're telling me with everything that's going down...
Hey, tone it down.
You're telling me with everything that's going down, we're just gonna let him walk in and take over like this.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. And that's exactly what we're gonna do. Believe me, I ain't liking it neither. But we ain't gonna make no waves, alright? This is gonna be a sham vote anyways. He's just doing it so he can say to the other bosses he did it, and he should be in charge now. It don't mean nothing to us, alright? It don't change a thing. I just talked to Tommy. He's gonna call me as soon as he talks to Big Paulie about setting up a meeting. So until I talk to him about this, Frankie's our boss. Got it?
Got it.
I got it.
Joey?
Yeah, yeah, I got it. But I tell you what.
What's that?
The next time I'm voting for something like this, I'm voting with a bullet.
The old man's barely been dead for a few days now, and still, the Frank Gallo era in the Colombo family is about to begin. I guess he figures he waited this long, he ain't gonna wait one more minute to do this. So we all gotta go meet up with everybody at Frankie's Club in Brooklyn, the Concrete Horse Social Club. On most days, you wouldn't even notice the place. And except for the members only lettering on the front window, it looks just like any other brick storefront entrance. But this ain't like most days. You got a couple of hundred men showing up to crown the new boss at the front door of his new castle. I ain't been in a line this long since me and my brothers were waiting to get tickets for the 56 World Series.
At least you had a good reason that day. This here's a joke.
It's friggin' freezing out of here. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, where's Doc? He's up there somewheres, ain't he? We could use some cocoa down here. He ain't good at much, but I think he could handle something like that.
Yeah, and make sure he brings some of them marshmallows, too.
Is it?
It's almost 12:20.
12:20? He tells us we gotta be here at noon sharp.
Don't be late, no excuses.
And we're still out here at 12:20.
Yeah, and I bet when we get up there, he's gonna bitch at us that we're late.
Yeah, I can definitely see him doing that.
Didn't Dom say yesterday Frankie didn't want to show up to the funeral because it was too risky?
Yeah, that's right.
But he's got us lined up out here like this for the whole world to see.
And he's up front in the center of it all.
Yeah, it's like he's saying, look at me, I'm a big shot now.
Yeah, this is a bad idea out here like this. A bad idea.
All right, here we go. We got one pastrami sandwich on white, one meatball hero, some chips, and I had to get regular soda. They didn't have any diet. Hope that's all right. What's going on? What did they miss?
Take a look at this. We got a parade of wise guys lined up around the corner. Started showing up right after you left.
Huh, how about that? They must have known it was yearbook picture day, huh?
Lucky us. You picked a hell of a first day.
Well, this ain't exactly my first day.
How many years have you spent in the organized crime unit?
None.
Well, then it's your first day.
I don't know about that. I mean, I've been with the FBI for 8 years now, and I've 6 years' worth of undercover narcotics work under my belt, so I'm not exactly a rookie or anything.
Trust me, it ain't the same. It's a whole different world out here.
How long you been here?
Next month will be 13 years.
So you must know all these guys out here, huh?
I'm familiar with some of them. I've spent most of my time with the Genovese and Lucchese squads. The agent in charge of this squad recently retired, so I'm taking over for him. A lot of these guys work with other guys in other families, so I know some of them through that. Others, we gotta find out about.
And who do you know?
Well, the guy at the front of the line.
The guy who's greeting everyone at the door?
Yeah, that guy. That's Frankie Knows Gallo. He's allegedly next in line to be the boss after the old boss Nicky Roselli went down a couple days ago. And by the looks of what's going on right now, that looks to be confirmed. It looks like he's got all the Columbo guys showing up to pay their respects to him. Now, further down, towards the back of the line, those three guys right there, I was told by the previous agent to keep an eye on them. Those guys are part of Stevie DeMeo's crew, one of the strongest in the family. These guys were the muscle for the old boss, Nicky Roselli, and I would imagine they'll be the muscle for the new boss, too. I'm not too familiar with these guys yet. I think there's a file in that folder over there on them.
What, over here?
Yeah, right there.
This one?
Yeah, they should all be in there. Let me see. Yeah, you got Angelo Narducci, the main bookmaking guy in the crew. That's this guy. Then you got Joseph Scarfitti, Joey Eightball, one of them real hot-headed type guys.
It looks like you got a screw loose or two.
You got Louis Meatballs Marzoni? Not sure his role just yet, besides patronizing the family Italian restaurants. And here's their captain, Stephen DeMeo. Stevie Cakes.
Stevie Cakes.
Yeah, he owns Charlie's Bakery in Little Italy. But he ain't no cupcake, I'll tell you that. And then you got this guy. I was told this guy's a real rising star in the family. Take a look.
Carmine Peter Santarelli, born to Angela and John Joseph Santarelli, May 27, 1943, in the Bronx, New York. Father John Joseph Johnny Boy Santarelli was a maiden member of the Pafasi crime family. Went missing in 1950 and presumed dead. Has three brothers and two sisters, no other siblings known to be involved in organized crime. Owner and operator of the D'Amato Carting Trash Hauling Company. He's got several arrests here throughout the years, but nothing with serious jail time. A couple of fights, burglaries, some bookmaking stuff. And never spent more than a month in jail. It's like he's living the charmed life of a modern-day gangster, eh?
Yeah, well, we'll see. These guys think they can get away with this stuff forever. Well, not on my watch. Things are gonna change for these guys real soon. Hey, take a look at this. Looks like there may be a little trouble in paradise brewing. I can't read lips from here, but it don't look like they're having the friendliest of conversations down there.
Hey, Joey.
No, I just want someone to answer me that question.
Let's go. Drop it.
It would be
best for you to listen to Carmine right now, Joey.
Why don't you just go inside and relax a bit? We'll talk about it later, all right?
Yeah, right. You'll talk about it later. Come on, let's go.
Okay. I'm coming. Hey.
What's the matter with you?
Was I right or was I right?
You don't listen, Joey. You're done. Zip it.
All right. It's done. Made my point. I said what I had to say.
Hey, there's Stevie and Louie over there.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
I don't know. Why don't you talk to Jaws over there?
Why, what's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just that Joey decided to take issue with Frankie at the door about the money he's asking for.
Joey, what'd I tell you about that?
What? He asked how I was doing and I told him. What do you want me to do?
Joey, I don't
want to
hear it no more, right? Just sit down, be quiet, don't say nothing the rest of the day, all right?
Quiet down, fellas.
I don't know what to
we
do
got
with
a
him
lot
no
of
more.
Business to take
You're
going to
give
of,
me a freaking heart attack.
Dom, everyone's accounted for, right?
Yeah, we got everybody.
Good. Let's begin then. Now, I brought all you guys together for a couple of reasons. The main being for what just happened to the old man and what needs to be done about it. It took them 2 hits, 8 bullets, and 1 car bomb to bring the old man down. But there ain't no entire army on this planet that's gonna bring this family down. No way! I saw him. I saw the punk. Mickey Callahan. This is the guy. These Westies maggots just don't know how to play nice. I don't think these guys realize.
Hey, Louie, you were with Mickey all night, right?
Yeah, I was in his bar all night. He was there the whole time. Ain't no way he did it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If he was still with us today, there ain't no doubt in my mind that he would want us to strike back hard and fast. He would make sure whoever was responsible would go down hard. We owe it to him to make that happen. And we will. So I think we all know what we gotta do. Dom, you got some other stuff to hit now, so have at it.
Now the next order of business here is we gotta name the new boss. According to the rules and everything, we gotta hold a vote so the boys upstairs know what's going on down here. So, with that, I gotta say, I don't think there's anyone here better prepared to take over than Frankie. Personally, I think it's a no-brainer. If anybody is against that, speak up now. I think that's it, boss. You got it.
Thank you, Dominic. I tell you what, my friends. I'm gonna build this thing up that it ain't never gonna die. No matter what they throw at us, no matter who goes after us, I guarantee that to everyone sitting here today. Mark my words, it's a new day for the Columbo family. A new day indeed.
Keep listening for a preview of the next episode. This Thing of Ours stars Joe Rodriguez as Carmine Santarelli, David Collins Rivera as Joey 8-Ball Scarfitti, Scott Larson as Angelo Narducci, Glenn Hallstrom as Louie Meatballs Marzoni, David Fontenot as Frankie Nose Gallo, Patrick Daly as Dominic DiGiovanni, Jaron Cohen as FBI Special Agent Benjamin Hodges, Glenn Haskell as FBI Special Agent Ted Matthews, Scott Spaulding as Stevie Cakes DeMayo, and announcing done by Ben Blankenship. Next time on This Thing of Ours.
Stevie, what's going on here?
That's how it's gonna be now, Rock.
How much we talking about here?
60%.
60%?
Yes, that, my friend, is the game plan. I want to get past that and somehow get the guy at the top. That's when the real damage will happen.
Frankie wants you guys over at the club. He's got some things to talk about with you guys.
Just me and Stevie?
No, you, Stevie, Joey, and Angelo.
What about Louie?
No Louie.
This Thing of Ours is a production of Decorated Air Theater, copyright 2013. Visit decoratedair.com for complete show details.
You just heard Who's the Boss? Episode 6 of This Thing of Ours from Decorated Air Theater. For more information and episodes, visit decoratedair.com. You're tuned in to listener-supported WCBE 90.5 FM and HD in Columbus and 106.3 FM in Newark. We're streaming on the web at wcbe.org. Now, for the second half of our program, tonight's Midnight Audio Theater original feature. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had our first MAT feature on the air for 2012-2013, but at the time, we didn't say much about the story or process. We were a little pressed for time on that show. It was a really tight squeeze, fitting three shows into 1 hour, and we just didn't give full info and credit to the process and the people involved. So I would like to start doing that tonight before we start with our selection. As many of our regular listeners know, I continue to hawk and talk about our scriptwriting competition on this show. Not in detail, but just constant reminders. And there's two reasons for that. One is because we really hope to do it again this year, to produce stories for next year. And two, because of all the involvement and support from the community in Columbus that we received in doing this scriptwriting competition this past year. The production of these features you'll be hearing tonight and over the coming weeks were a joint effort between WCBE, the Columbus City Schools Recording Arts Program at Fort Hays Campus, and the board and staff of Actors Theater of Columbus. Actors Theater allowed us to hold auditions for our audio drama roles alongside their calls for actors for their 2013 season. If you live in Columbus and have gone to Schiller Park or the Columbus Commons these past few months for the Actors Theater shows, take a good listen tonight and for the next few weeks, because the voices may start to sound a little familiar. Some of the voices might sound familiar from such favorites as King Arthur, Twelfth Night, The Beaux' Stratagem, and the current showing of Romeo and Juliet down at the Columbus Commons. On the more technical side of things in the recording sessions, the actors worked with the wonderful and talented students of Ryan Van Bibber's recording arts classes at the Fort Hays campus. The students that helped us out did a wonderful job, and we couldn't have accomplished so many group recordings without them. So thank you very much to all of you who had a part in this. Now, you've heard me ramble enough. Next week I'll have a little more to talk about the scriptwriting competition process and the many people that we have to thank for all their hard work. But right now, dang it, you're here to listen to some audio drama. We're going to share with you Going Home by Dr. Kathy Brady, an assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. This has been a fun piece to bring to life, and we hope that you enjoy listening to it as much as we did producing it. Enjoy!
Coming. Hold on. I've got to weave my way around the boxes. Don't go anywhere. Look out, Tex. Don't want to step on you either. Sarah, this is a surprise. Come on in, but watch your step. The place is a minefield.
Well, at least you're making progress. The place looks a lot better than when I showed it to you. I can see some floor. And it looks like your dog finally has a place to stretch out now. Given how bad the house was in retrospect, I'm surprised you bought it. Even if it was sold by the best real estate agent in Ohio.
How could I pass it up? A two-story Victorian duplex, complete with marble fireplace, high-beamed ceilings, a formal dining room reminiscent of yesteryear, three homey bedrooms, and a sleeping porch for whiling away summer evenings.
All right, you. Enough of making fun of my cheesy real estate listing. It did the trick, didn't it?
Honestly, it was the stuff that came with the house that really did it. How many houses could I buy that included the entire estate of an antique-loving hoarder, complete with his blind yet charming golden retriever?
Does he always do that on cue?
All the time. For a divorced guy like me, I really like the company.
How is the sorting coming?
Well, pretty slow. Claire made the point that I need to be careful not to confuse Tex. He lived up here in all this clutter for all 4 years of his puppy life. To him and Robert, the boxes were furniture. So I try not to move more than a couple boxes each day, and then I walk Tex around the layout on his leash. So far, he's been catching on great.
Claire?
Yeah, she's the woman who lives downstairs, and the one who baked those oatmeal squares sitting on the stove. Help yourself.
Would you like to tell me more about this love connection?
What are you talking about?
Why, you and Claire. You sound like you really like her. Are you two an item?
Not exactly an item, given that she's about 5 years older than my grandmother. I do, however, happen to be crazy about her. She's witty, wise, and an all-around good egg. I just don't think I'll be asking her to prom anytime soon.
Thanks for clearing that up. Have you found any treasures amongst all this trash?
Well, so far, there's actually very little trash and quite a few treasures.
Really? Antique furniture?
Well, yeah. There are quite a few potentially valuable pieces under the tarps, holding up boxes. But since I didn't bring any furniture with me after the divorce, I figure I would keep most of it. No need to haul new furniture up those killer stairs when I already have nice stuff here that matches the decor.
Do you think you'll find some treasures to sell, though?
I've already done quite well. Claire filled me in on Robert Miller, the former tenant in this apartment. He lived here for over 50 years and was a fairly successful author turned hermit. He didn't take many trips out into the world, but he made the ones he did take count.
What do you mean?
Robert's trips seemed to have a single purpose: to amass material goods. And apparently he didn't discriminate. He collected antiques and vintage books, nothing surprising there. But he also had a penchant for buying and saving unopened boxes of cereal and cans of food.
He saved canned goods?
Yep. And surprisingly, I think that stuff is going to prove to be really valuable. I already have offers from several museums for the canned goods. Mint condition stuff like that doesn't come along every day.
Huh. I guess what they say about one man's trash is really true.
Oh, that reminds me. Here, let me show you my treasure. I found it under a tarp on that sofa over there. Follow me into the kitchen, but watch your step. There it is. What do you think?
Wow. What is it? I mean, clearly it's a vintage radio, but it's not like anything I've ever seen before. Those carvings. Can I touch it?
Sure. You can't hurt it. I think it's solid maple.
This figurine of the woman. She's so ethereal and, might I even say, erotic looking. She reminds me of the Art Deco hood ornament on my great-grandpa's car. And this other figure. What is that? A gargoyle?
Yeah, gargoyle is the best description I can come up with.
Does it play?
Well, it turns on and the dial lights up. Here, let me show you. I figure it probably needs some tubes replaced. I'm friends with one of the janitors at work who plays a lot of guitar and fixes amps. I figure I'll box it up and take it to him.
Not to show my stupidity, but what good would that do?
Oh, sorry. Will is into tube amps. They're the same type of tubes that were in vintage radios.
Well, it sure is breathtaking. I hope your friend can help you get it to play. But I gotta say, just the amber glow from the dial is pretty pleasing.
I know. I find myself turning it on when I get home just so it can cast that light. Look at me, a grown man with his very own nightlight.
Call it what you want. I think it's awesome. I should be going. I have a couple showings yet tonight.
Thanks for stopping by, Sarah. And for helping me find this place. It really does feel like home. How was your day today, Claire?
Not much to tell you, kiddo. I wrestled what seems like the same bugs and weeds as I did yesterday. By the way, you do think the new landlord will let me continue gardening, don't you?
As long as you keep bringing him these amazing homegrown tomatoes, I think I can assure it.
Well, that's a relief. It's important to keep busy. Now that I'm retired from teaching, I sometimes have to fight off the feeling that I'm not doing anything. Not making a difference, you know?
You make a tremendous difference to me, Claire. I haven't known you for very long, but I'd be lost without our Wednesday spaghetti nights. Though I do feel guilty for burdening you with all my teaching problems. This professor gig sure isn't panning out the way I planned.
First, you certainly don't have anything to feel guilty about. You're the one who brings this homemade pasta delicacy to me every week. Second, I love hearing about teaching. Problems or not. It makes me feel like I'm close to the classroom again, even though your youngsters are a lot older than the ones I dealt with.
Youngsters. I like that. Maybe that's how I'll start classes from now on. Good afternoon, youngsters.
Don't you mock an old lady now, Josh. Just wait till you're as old as I am. Everyone will be a youngster to you, too.
Not mocking, ma'am. Not mocking at all. And I certainly don't think of you as old. I'm pretty sure you have more energy than I do most days.
That's because I have less stress than you do, kiddo. Tell me what's been going on.
I wish I knew where to start. My problem as a chemistry professor at Taylor is that the students aren't interested in chemistry. They don't need chemistry. They don't want chemistry. It's an arts college. The periodic table of elements doesn't mean anything when your goal is to see your name in lights on Broadway, or to have your novel published, or to see your work hanging in a gallery.
Are they giving you a hard time about the lab work or the class lectures?
No, actually quite the opposite. Here's an example. Yesterday, Sarah Johnson, she's a creative writing major. She rushes back into the lab after class shouting, "Dr. Cooper, that light display was so awesome that I went right to my room and I wrote a shape poem about it."
What's so funny?
I don't know what the students have learned, but I know what I have. One, my students think of me as more magician than scientist. And two, I have no idea what a shape poem is.
You've got that student excited about something. That's the first step. I don't know why you're always so hard on yourself.
Well, I don't really think I'm going to get tenure. And it would be better for my career if I left before they showed me the door. But I don't know what else I would do, and I certainly don't want to leave here. This house is the first place that's felt like home in a long time. And you're a big part of that, Claire. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Well, you don't need to worry about that, kiddo. I'm going to stay right here. Now, try some of my raspberry truffle.
That sounds positively decadent. Thanks a lot, Claire. Now I will be professionally unsuccessful and fat.
Oh.
Come on, Tex. Let's go get in the car. We need to go to the post office to drop off more vintage food. Imagine, somebody paying over $500 for food that's over 60 years old. You are correct, sir. I do have to go to the bank's drive-up window after that. And yes, that is indeed the bank where the lady always sends out dog treats for you. I feel kind of guilty letting you have them. But I guess it doesn't bother you, does it? Didn't think so. And then I'm going to run into school and drop off the radio for Will to look at. He gets off work at 2, so I'm thinking we should be able to catch him on his way out of the building. Okay, Tex, we are at the post office. Wait here for me and I... Wait a minute. That building across the street has a sign that says Robert's Radio Repair. Huh, did you ever... Oh, my bad, Tex. I'm asking a blind dog if he can read a sign. Sorry, pal. You know, sometimes I question my own sanity. I think you understand every word I say. Just wait here. I'm going to run this radio into that shop just for the heck of it and see what they can tell me.
Hey man, hope you weren't waiting long. I didn't hear you come in.
Could you tell me exactly how long this shop has been here?
No, not exactly. It's been here at least 60 years, though.
But I was at the post office just last week, and I didn't
see it.
Hey,
man, I've been working here 10 years. I just don't think people pay attention unless they need us. And by the looks of that box, maybe you could use some help.
Yeah, I guess. I have a radio that won't play.
Wow, you got yourself a 1938 Gibson GA. I've never seen one in person, but I've read all about them. This is a beauty. Let's just slide off the back panel here and take a look. Yeah. Okay. I think I've seen everything I need to see. It definitely needs all the tubes replaced. What kind of music you want to hear play?
I'm sorry. I don't think I understand what you mean. What music I want
it to
play? Yeah,
man. What kind of music do you want it to play? You know, 70s disco, 60s protest, 50s sock hop. What kind of music do you want to listen to?
But radios just play whatever's being broadcast. Just because it's an old radio doesn't mean it's going to play old music.
Look, man, which one of us here is the radio's specialist? Of course, it matters what kind of music you want to hear. The answer you give old Bernie here will tell me what tubes to put in. Now please, buddy, I've got a lot of work to get done here, so as you can see. What kind of music do you want to listen to?
70s disco would be fine.
Great, man. And hey, I hope I didn't sound too impatient. It's just like I'm really a specialist. But hey, enough about me. 70s disco music coming up. I'll be right back with your radio. Here you go. I took the liberty to pack it up for you. Wouldn't want anything to happen to it. Can't wait to get home and tell the old lady I got to work on a 38 Gibson GA. She'll be blown away.
Thanks. How much do I owe you?
Nothing. It's on the house. It's policy.
What? I guess I don't understand. Not that I'm questioning you or anything. It's just, how do you make any money?
Hey, man, I'm not going to snap at you again. I think this coupon will answer all your queries.
Free lifetime service on all 1938 Gibson GA Cathedral radios. Wow. I wouldn't think this would still be honored. I've never even heard of the company before. I mean, except for guitars. It's not the same company, is it?
No, completely different Gibson. And yes, the coupon is still good. And I mean, I can't tell you what an honor this has been for me, man, personally. So, you go back to your place and try out the 70s disco. And if you're not completely satisfied, and I mean like really, really happy, I want you to come back here pronto and we'll get you fixed up with some different tubes. I mean, slightest hesitation, okay, man? Sorry I snapped at you there. Really, this has been awesome.
Thanks for the help, Bernie. Maybe I will be back. We'll just have to see. Well, Tex, let's see how this music suits us.
the Tramps with Disco Inferno. Coming up next, a new one by Peaches and Herb. But first, the news. President Carter urges all Americans to turn down their thermostats to help conserve energy. Lines at the fuel pumps continue, while most Americans seem to be willing...
This is flashing me back to an awkward time, Tex. Middle school dances, polyester, need I say...
Josh, help! Oh, my Henry, help! Someone, quick!
Claire? I'm coming, hang on! Claire, let me grab that. What are you doing standing on the couch?
Oh, Josh, thank heaven you could hear me.
Well, give me your hand. Let me help you down. Again, what were you doing?
I feel so silly. I was sitting in my chair over there, and I noticed a cobweb on Henry's picture. My bursitis in my shoulder's been acting up, so I didn't have the strength to move the couch and properly dust the picture.
So instead of asking me for help, you thought you would just climb up on the couch.
Well,
and...
there's nothing wrong with my knee. I can certainly climb.
I can see that.
Don't you mock an old lady now, Josh.
I'm not mocking, ma'am. Not mocking at all. You just scared the life out of me. I'm just grateful I was home to hear you. What would have happened if I had been at school?
I don't know. I fear I would have dropped Henry's portrait on the floor. That and a drawer full of letters are all I have left of him. I hate how old bursitis makes me feel. The picture slipped and I caught it, but I wasn't strong enough to hold on.
Don't go getting upset, Claire. I'm really not chastising you. I would never want to upset my best girl.
That's what Henry always called me. His best girl. I always used to tease him on laundry day. I know I'm your best girl, but where are all the others? They could take their turn at washing your socks, you know.
You two sound like you were very happy.
Oh, we were. I remember the day he asked me to marry him. Henry didn't have money for a ring, but instead of giving me an IOU, he went to the hat shop and bought the beautiful little feathered blue cap I'd been admiring. I still wear it to church on our anniversary. Oh, poor Tex. I didn't even notice you there. Thank you for coming to my rescue, too.
He heard you cry out and bolted down the stairs. I didn't have time to stop him, and I'm not sure he would have let me if I had tried.
I am sorry to have been such a bother to you, gentlemen.
You could never be a bother. Should I hang your husband's portrait back up?
Oh, if you would, please, kiddo. That would be wonderful.
I've always been meaning to ask you about him, but I didn't want to pry. Did he die during the war?
Yes. One day after teaching school, I came home to find a telegram waiting for me. Henry had been lost when his division had the German forces encircled in the Ruhr. And a month later, Germany surrendered and the war in Europe was over.
I'm so sorry, Claire. That must have been terrible.
Just a difference of a few weeks and Henry would have come back to me. You know, when I was little, our pastor always said, there aren't any mistakes. There may be things we don't understand, but no mistakes. It was so easy to believe that until I lost Henry. That one seems like a mistake to me.
I haven't been to church much since grade school, so I'm not the one to consult on matters of theology, but I'm just very sorry you had to go through that.
Well, it is time to salvage what's left of this day. It's Wednesday, and I haven't begun to bake yet.
You go to your kitchen and whip up something fattening, as always, and I will go make our spaghetti. We'll meet back here in a couple hours. Sound good?
Sounds great, kiddo.
Hey, man, thought you might be back.
Yeah, the disco thing was not the right choice for me.
Yeah, man, I can understand. Let's see what else we can hook you up with. So, what are you thinking?
I don't really know, Bernie. I feel like there's one right choice here, but I don't have a clue what that would be. Does that make any sense?
Crystal, man, totally. How about I check the coding in the radio? You know, the manufacturer's settings? Now, it's true, a radio can play whatever you want to hear, with the proper tubes, of course. But this radio was originally meant to be something, and that coding will tell me what that is.
That sounds great. Thanks a lot, Bernie.
No problem, man. That's what I'm here for. I'll just take this in the back. It should only take a minute or so. This is what you need, man. I want you to go home to play it, though. Don't just plug it in anywhere. It's important that you're where you belong, you know?
Sure.
Hey, thanks for coming in, man. It's been real.
Yeah. Thanks for everything, Bernie.
Here, let me grab the door for you. Good luck, man.
Well, Tex, here we go. I wonder what we're going to hear. Wow. Look how much brighter it's glowing. It's filling the entire room.
Attention, radio listener. I need your undivided attention to the following message. If you want to go home, continue listening. I repeat, if you want to go home, continue listening. If you want to stay where you are, turn off your radio immediately.
Wait a minute. Now I am really confused here. Home. What did the voice mean by home? And why did it say listener? Like I'm the only one listening to this station? And who is that voice? I swear it sounds like someone I know, but I just can't place it. Wonder what happens if I try to change the channel.
Radio listener, please do not waste time seeking other channels. This is your broadcast. You have a decision to make, and it must be made immediately. I now bring you a big band musical selection. If you wish to stay where you are, you must turn off your radio. Once you turn it off, however, you can never turn it back on.
I just don't understand.
Man, think this through! This is your one chance to go home, brother! Don't blow it!
Bernie? I knew I recognized your voice. Going home, what do you mean by that? I thought I was already home. I sure wish you weren't blind, Tex. Because I really need someone else to look out that window right now. My car isn't where I left it, and the street looks like an old movie out there, except it's not in black and white. Well, that's it, boy. Just keep letting me know you're there, because I can't take my eyes off the window. It's still the neighborhood, but everything looks so different. All the houses are still out there, but they look vintage. That's it. There's not a single vinyl-sided house in sight. I don't believe it. Is that Claire? She's so young and beautiful. The only reason I'm pretty sure it's her is because of that blue feathered... Ow! My arm hurts. And my clothes. An army uniform. I think I know what these dog tags say, Tex, but I'm almost afraid to look. Yep. Captain Henry Harding. I don't know how I knew, but... If I don't turn off the radio, Josh Cooper will vanish. It will be as if I never was. I won't show up at work tomorrow, or the next day, and there'll be no trace of me left. Well, my job is going nowhere. I'm an only child with two deceased parents. The only things in my life that matter are you, Tex, and Claire. I can tell she hasn't been well, and I know I'll be losing her soon. Unless I don't turn off that radio.
There you have it, listener. Welcome to your life. This is Bernie, signing off. Take care, man. You made the right decision.
Where am I? Oh, it's good to see you, boy.
Captain Harding? Whatever are you doing in my apartment? You nearly scared me to death.
Why, Mrs. Lever, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to startle you. I rang the bell and you didn't answer. I just got home from the war, and Claire very much wanted to return the pie plate she borrowed from you.
Oh, please. Don't apologize, Captain. It's just you gave me a start. But it's always a blessing when one of our boys comes home. Especially my downstairs neighbor.
Thank you, ma'am. That's very kind of you. Claire and I are going to be doing a lot of celebrating, you see. And she was afraid it would get overlooked in the festivities. So Tex here and I decided we'd walk it up to you. It's on the counter, and she put some of her oatmeal squares in it for you.
Well, that was so thoughtful of her. You are all right, aren't you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I took a hit during our attack on the Roar, but I'll be fine. The doctors were able to fix it up good as new.
That's wonderful. Well, do thank Claire for my dish and those delicious oatmeal squares. And thank you for stopping up.
I'd better be going, Mrs. Lever. It's time to go home. Woo!
Going Home was written by Catherine Brady and produced by Catherine Ranella and Ryan Van Bibber. This story is featured as a part of Midnight Audio Theater's scriptwriting competition winners of 2012. Featuring the voice talents of David Warwick as Josh, Ariel Rogers as Sarah and Mrs. Lever, Kate Blair Wilhelm as Claire, and Andy Falter as Bernie Antex. Music recordings by the Glenn Miller Orchestra, provided under the Internet Archive Community Audio Collection, as part of the public domain and under a Creative Commons license. The executive producer is Dan Michalko. This has been a Merity Media and Midnight Audio Theater production. You've been listening to Midnight Audio Theater on WCBE 90.5 FM and HD in Columbus and 106.3 FM in Newark. We're streaming on the web at wcbe.org. And if you enjoyed listening to this story, maybe you tuned in late and want to hear some more of our other features, head on over to midnightaudiotheater.com for more great listening, as well as links to other audio drama production groups we've featured on the show. You can always send us your thoughts, comments, and suggestions at midnightaudiotheater@gmail.com. We're always happy to hear from you. So until next week, audio drama fans, where we plan to bring you another MAT original feature, along with your regular favorites, same bat time, same bat channel. I'm Kathy Ranella. Thanks for tuning in. BBC World News is up next.